Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. Between 2 and 3, we've got Bob to come in and talk about a book he's written after the death of his child, and it's an inspirational book and also sort of things that you can do to sort of alleviate the heartache. You'll never get rid of it, but we hopefully after reading the book that will help you along the track. And of course between 1 and 2 we've got our legal hour. Grant Hutchinson from Hutchinson Legal will be in. We sent him away with a few questions, and also we've got some more for him to take away, and we'll talk about all things legal between 1 and 2. But it's my pleasure now to introduce Anchor. Now, we've spoken to Anchor, and we always talk to the big honchos down there. Heidi, she's the CEO, and she's been kind enough to get a foster carer to be part of the conversation. We'll talk to him a little bit later. But first of all, welcome, Heidi.
Thanks, Alan. Lovely to talk to you again, and lovely to talk to you in this Foster Care Week 2025.
That's what I was going to ask you. The reason we're talking is not just because we want to talk. It's because it is actually foster care this week, isn't it?
Yeah. And the theme this year is time to care. And I guess, you know, the theme of time to care really refers to every moment in a child's life is an important moment.
Yep. And we're talking about all children there, aren't you?
Yeah, all children. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Every moment in their lives is very, very important. And, you know, I've just come back from my grandchild's third birthday. And yes. I was just talking to Tom that, you know, that they come up to 3 and they're little humans that yep. know their mind and whatever. Yep. Every moment counts. And so, you know, what we're really trying to, try to get across to the community that with fewer carers and increasing demand, you know, we really are, you know, struggling and striving to make sure that every moment in a child's life who needs care is, you know, we can meet that need.
And Heidi, can I just ask you one thing? I don't like to cut across you, but you desperately need more carers all the time, don't you, foster carers?
Yeah, absolutely. We do. We need more people, you know, to make all those moments matter, really, and to give us a really, you know, fulsome group of people that we can call on. Because we never, you know, it's when people sort of say to me, well, how many kids in care, or, you know, how do you know that or whatever? Well, I don't know it because I don't know what's around the next corner.
Yep.
Because children are being reported to the government, to the department, to the police, you know, every day, every minute of every day. And so you don't know then when the next group of children or child is going to need some care through foster care. And, you know, and I guess that, you know, I've done a lot of deep thinking about this over 40 years of this, that, you know, we need to recognise and support foster carers, and we need to really, I guess, celebrate them. And right now, across Australia, foster care is not doing well, and that's because, you know, we don't have the number of carers. We have increasing numbers of children that require it. And I guess that's having some pretty dire consequences in some states. Luckily, Victoria is, you know, we're holding on. I think there's a group of CEOs and a group of agencies that are hanging tight to foster care, hanging tight to it, because we realise it's absolutely precious and we can't let it go.
Heidi, one of the things that we should stress very early in this interview, and I know you and I have spoken about this before, that we need to understand that this is not the child's fault. The child hasn't gone off and done something naughty or done something bad, and therefore they've been taken out of their home. It's purely and simply because there's something in that home that is detrimental to them, isn't it? Heidi's disappeared for a moment. We'll just...
Yes, no,
she's
back again.
So,
yeah, I'm back again.
I don't know if you heard that, but what we need to stress nice and early in this interview, it's not the fault of the children. The children haven't been off and done something naughty or been taken out of the home for that reason, have they? They've been taken out because there's something in the home that's not right for them.
Yeah. So for people who are not, you know, 100% aware, Children who anyone thinks may be at risk of harm,
yep,
in, you know, living with who they're living with at the moment, you know, is obliged to report to the department, to their helpline, and then they triage all of that information, and then they look at which ones they got, you know, going to respond to or whatever. Sometimes the police respond if it's an emergency,
yep,
but most often it's teachers, you know, healthcare workers, maybe next door neighbours, that sort of thing, and they report in and say, look, I've just got a feeling something's not right here, you know, I've seen some bruises, or the child's not acting the way they, you know, have done before, etc. And so that's what the department's acting on. And so you're right, it's nothing to do with what the children have done.
Yep.
And 99.9% of children, they absolutely do not want to leave,
yep,
the care of their parents.
Yep.
It's a really, you know, when you think about it, when you think out loud about it, it's a huge responsibility for people to make that decision, to actually remove a child and,
yeah,
to say, well, sorry, you can't look after your child, we're going to have to place them with someone else. I mean, imagine that decision. And that's what, yep, child protection workers are doing every day.
Every day.
And when they come to us, then the foster carers, we're trying to sort of, you know, smooth over some of that damage. There's some big damage.
Heidi, I need to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and talk to Tom, who's one of your foster carers, and we'll have a quick word with Tom. That was Lonnie Lee, and I had the pleasure of interviewing him, I think about 2 weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon, 1:30. Terrific bloke, and he's still out there, I think the age of 83 or 84, still performing. Anyway, we're here to talk to Ankin, and we're not here to talk about the old-time rock and rollers, but I'll be here on Sunday between 12 and 2 and again and 6 and 8 playing all that sort of music. But anyway, Tom's a foster carer with Anchor, so it's a pleasure to talk to Tom. How are you, Tom?
I'm great, thanks, Alan.
Now, I've got to ask you a couple of things. We don't want to delve into your personal life, and if there's anything you don't want to talk about, just tell me to buzz off and we'll move on to the next subject. But we're not here to do that. First of all, Tom, how long have you been a foster carer?
9 years.
9 years.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, because if people outside who are listening to us today are thinking about it, what made you, Tom, think, I think I'll have a shot at foster caring?
Oh, gosh. My wife and I have been talking about it for a long, probably 20 years. We love kids and always knew there was a need for foster carers.
Yep.
I think once our kids were in their early 20s, my wife had, we had room in the house and we all had the headspace to take on more. And she looked up and for a foster agency to join up with. So.
Tom, over the 9 years, how many children have you had?
Well, I think we're up to 45.
45?
In the 9 years, yeah.
So at roughly what age do they come into you? Or if you've had 45, obviously you haven't had them long term, like some of them have just been for short term, is that right?
Yeah, look, we've had children stay for 12 hours. We've had other kids. We've got one now that's been with us for 2.5 years.
Yep.
Most of them are, a couple of months. Yeah, we've had a few over a year, but not many. But most of them have been shorter term.
So how do you feel as a person when they move on, when it comes time to say goodbye? Because most of us, we stay with our children from the day they're born right through.
Yeah. So, it's the hardest part, Alan. It's amazing how quickly you fall in love with these little kids. Yep. And it's heartbreaking to see them move on and harder still that you don't have contact with them ongoing. So you don't really know. You're always thinking about where they're at and how they're going, but, getting information about them once they're passed on is really limited.
Yep.
So,
Tom, you had children of your own. Were any of them still at home when you brought the first foster care child in?
Yeah, we actually had my daughter and my son were both home and they had their partners. So we had six adults in the house.
Wow.
And we had three little foster kids.
Three at one time.
Yeah, yeah. So it was amazing. It was such a great experience. Our children basically learned how to be parents from watching us interacting with the kids and seeing how we had to support each other in doing that and to cope day to day. So it was just a fantastic experience.
So it was a positive experience, not only for yourselves, but for your own children. So, they didn't resent these other children coming in. They were quite happy to accept them in as part of the family.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So you said you don't have a lot of, once they move on, where have they mainly gone after they've had you? Have they been able to go back to their own homes or have they had to go into more permanent situations?
Yeah, all of the kids that we've had have moved on to either back to their parents or onto a family member that can take them.
Right.
So that's been really positive and has helped us in... You get an idea when you get a child in your care what the plan is, whether they're going to go back to parents or whether they're looking for a kinship placement for them.
Right.
So that helps you, in effect, prepare for when they do go, that day they do go, because they're going off to see mum or dad or a few times a week. So you do have a sense that they're not yours. They're with you for a short term. So that helps you prepare for when they do go the day.
So, Tom, while they're in your care, we'll say that they're there for a year or something like that, rather than, just a few hours. When you've got them, when they're in your care, how many, do they all get to meet their parents and do you have to go with them or what happens when it's time? And maybe Heidi wants to come into this as well.
Yeah. So when they're in your care, they're under a court order. The courts have decided if the parents are going to have contact with them or not.
Right.
You've got absolutely no say or control in it. And usually, or nearly all of the time, a worker from DFFH will pick them up if they're going to contact mum or dad.
Oh, right. So you don't have to front with the parents. Oh, that's good. I thought you might have to.
Only on, like in all the 9 years, my wife has only met the parents once on one occasion, which was really positive. But yeah, usually there's a barrier basically that protects you from the parents.
Yeah, that's fair.
It protects the privacy basically. So,
and that's fair enough too.
Yeah, you need that.
What would you say to people who are listening today? Because we've got a lot of listeners out there who may be thinking about it. We're going to talk to Heidi about this in a minute, but what would you be saying to them?
Oh, geez. Look, if you love children, the kids in care, they just need love. They need love and attention. They need a safe place to stay. So if you can offer those sorts of things and you want to offer those sorts of things, find out some more about foster care.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then I want to talk to Heidi again. That song, I've just had a phone call from a listener, and I was going to ask Heidi something else, but we'll ask this question first. This person themselves didn't find out that they were adopted until they were about 40 years of age. But Heidi, he's just asked the question, what happens if you get two or three children? Do some of these, if they're part of three, does a foster carer have to take the three, or do you try and keep the kids together as long as you can? What happens in that situation?
I'm guessing you're talking about siblings.
Yes, I should have said that.
Look, there certainly is an absolute, not policy, but certainly an absolute you know, values-driven need to keep siblings together. But I think that, you know, sometimes that's possible, and the majority of the time it is in the siblings' best interest to keep them together.
Yep.
But there are occasions, very occasionally, where it may be better for maybe one of the siblings not to be placed with one or two others. And that might be because they need very, very special attention. They may have disabilities, etc. So it just may be better for them to get that one-to-one. But generally speaking, absolutely, we try to keep siblings together. It is tough because the sibling groups we now get are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids. So it's not uncommon to have very big sibling groups. And I think, you know, it's very, very hard to place them together because people don't, you know, don't have such big houses. So it's not easy, but absolutely. I think what people tell us, and what the people that I know from care, who grew up in care, the most important thing for them that they tell us as adults, back when they tell us, is I was with my sibling. That's the most important thing.
This person was one of quite a large family, and he was making the comment, well, he never got put with any other group, with any others, but then, I mean, he was part of a large family, so I mean, no one can take it. All right, I hope that answers your question, and we shall move on. Now, Heidi, I just want to talk about the foster carers because Tom has got a wife and he's got children, and he's had some of these for a year and that. But while you're really looking for long-term carers, but you're also looking for people who can just help you short-term or relief as well, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we're absolutely looking for anyone that can contribute. But I think that, there is absolute, it's absolutely important that children are able to stay in a placement or with a family for as long as they need to. So, you know, as Tom was saying, they've had a mixed bag of, you know, some kids needed to stay for a couple of months, some for a year, some overnight, and the child that he has now, it may be quite long term. So I think that what we need are people that can kind of pivot a little bit. It's probably, you know, for the children's sake, it's really important that people are flexible and that they are able to provide care for the length of time that child needs care.
Yep.
So, I mean, we do try to match kids to carers. You know, if we know that we've got a child that's, say, they're trying to reunite them with their parents, say, in 3 months' time, we'll, you know, talk to a carer that we know that can do 3 months. But, you know, and Tom, I'm sure, would attest to this, is that if children are coming in their early care days, things are it's a bit of a moving feast. You know, so they've been removed, they've gone to, you know, it's, but the matters have been in court. Things can change quite rapidly.
Yep.
You know, the law and being in front of a court can change things, not only in the short term, but often matters are prolonged in the court. You know, the courts, any court now, is quite clogged.
Yep.
You know, with matters, doesn't matter what sort of court it is, and the children's court is no different.
Yep.
It's quite clogged up with matters. So things can take much longer than what you might predict. So you might say to someone, look, I expect this kid will, you know, be here for 2 weeks, but then 2 months later they're still there. So I think really what we're probably looking for, what the system's looking for, is people who can be a bit flexible, that can go with the child's needs. That's not to say that, you know, people that can only do respite on the weekend or can only do very short term are not welcome.
Yep.
But I would absolutely be saying our need is for people who can be flexible to meet the child's needs.
Now, Heidi, you've mentioned a couple of times during that when it's decided for them to go back, who makes the decision? Does it have to go to court or is it social work? Who decides when they go back to the families?
The magistrate. The court makes the decision.
So these children, we'll say Tom's got a child and we'll say that he's got it for 2 months, we'll say.
Yes.
So Does a youth worker then go back to the magistrate and say, look, I think the family problem is resolved? I guess we're just trying to find the process of how it works.
So that all sits with child protection. Mm. So it sits with the government department. The government department, Department of Families, Fairness and Housing are the conduits for the court.
Right.
We don't have anything to do with that as a provider of foster care.
Yep.
So it sits with those officers in DFFH, and they're called child protection workers. And yes, they will, right from the very first minute that child is referred to them or you know, they become aware of them, the assessment starts. And, you know, this is, you know, like, and this is why I say it can change quite a bit. So we can have, you know, a situation in which, say, there's really extreme family violence, and so the children need to be removed for their own safety, let's just say. But then that situation changes and one or other of the partners gets their own place and the violence is no more. And so then, you know, the children can go back safely. That can happen quickly sometimes, you know. But the other thing, some things take a bit longer, you know. Some things take a lot longer to kind of sort out, you know. And I think, yeah, there's quite extensive processes and assessments that go into working out whether, you know, that birth family is able to take that child back again. But look, the system is set up, really, you know, ideally, for children to be living with their birth parents.
That's
what we all want.
Yep.
It's just that sometimes it's not possible. But I've seen some fabulous outcomes over the years where we've, you know, people like Tom and his wife that have, you know, had a child for a very long period of time, and, you know, I've had contact often with the birth parents, and they are incredibly grateful to the foster carers for the care that they give. And they will, you know, even though they say, look, you know, I wish it didn't happen, I wish I could have my child, etc., but I know that they're safe and they're loved. And that's, at the end of the day, you know, people sort of think, oh, well, you know, the things sometimes that they hear that birth parents do, they think, well, they mustn't love them. Well, I've never met a birth parent that doesn't love their child to death. You know, they love them so much. They just are in situations where they can't look after them and care for them and be the parent that we need them to be. And, you know, and I think even though it's very disruptive and it's very, very upsetting for everyone at the time, you know, I think in the longer run, people can reflect back and go, I'm sure the gentleman that you were speaking to, you know, who's been adopted, that even though it still might, there might be some pain around it, you know, in some ways, perhaps it was for the best in the long run, you know. I guess the main thing is for people not to judge.
All right, I've got to take a quick break, then I want to talk to Tom and Heidi both together. You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 20 minutes to one.
We do.
Heidi and the CEO down at Anchor, and Tom, one of the foster carers. Tom, first of all, I should mention that about 5 to 1, Heidi will give you all the contact details to get hold of Anchor. If you're at all thinking about it, give them a ring, have a talk to them and see how you can fit in, because I know Heidi's team would love to talk to you. Tom, how supported were you by Anchor, or do you feel supported by Anchor? Don't worry about the fact that Heidi's listening. Just talk to me.
Oh, Anchor have been terrific, but they're a small organisation. So, you know, if you need help, you've got contact with Heidi directly if you need.
Yep.
So that's, yeah, it's been great for us to be able to have that confidence that if we're having issues with a child, that we can talk on different levels in a new organisation.
Can't do better than that. Heidi, at about 5 to 1, you're going to give them the contact details, as I said. But if a person thinks, oh, look, I might take this, I might not, so they're going to ring you today. What's the process from there on in? Because I'm sure you don't just say, well, here's a child and away you go.
No. So, look, I think just circling back to what Tom said earlier, you know, many people, you know, generally speaking, the average time that people are thinking about or considering it is 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah, it is. It's quite a long time. And that's okay, you know, because this is a big decision.
Heidi, is that because they want to clear their family situation, they've got younger children and therefore they want to wait till they're older, or
yeah,
what?
I think that's part of it. Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. And that's an average time, and as Tom said, he and his wife are thinking about it for many, many more years than that.
Yep.
And then other people think about it sort of for less time. But I guess I would absolutely encourage people to ring and just have a chat about it. There is no expectation that it's going to go any further than that. And generally what we do is we have a chat with someone and then we send them some more information out to their house. And then the next step after that, if people are then interested a bit more interested, we will perform a home visit, because it's no point people going through a big exercise if we don't think that their house is suitable.
Yep.
And I remember a few times that I've had to say no to people. You know, things like if they live in a very dangerous place without sort of a lot of safety, you know, rails and things like that, you know, you go, oh, look, I think this is not going to really work. Or if obviously people have to have a spare bedroom.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's not going to work than sharing with a child and being in a one-bedroom place or whatever. So we sort of then, you know, go and have that visit and then talk a little bit about what the process is, because the next step of the process is to come for training, where people get a fairly wide array of information.
Yep.
About what, you know, about why we have a foster care system, what you'd be expected to do as a foster carer. We talk about children's behaviour, you know, when they've experienced trauma, that sometimes it looks a bit different to kids who have not gone through that and what to expect.
Because some of those would have come out of some very traumatic situations, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And that can produce behaviour that's a little, you know, might feel a little bit different for people. They might think, oh, I've never seen anyone do that before. You know, things like a very typical one that, you know, comes to my mind is that over the years, I've had a lot of kids who hoard food in their room, and that is because they have experienced not having food.
Oh, yep, yep.
So when it's available, they hoard it, they take it into their bedroom, under the bed, that sort of thing. And people find that really confronting. And, you know, well, why do they do that? Why don't they, you know, but it's an inner urge, you know.
Yep.
If you think about food, that's such a human urge.
Particularly if you've been hungry.
Yeah, and things like that. People go, I don't understand that. But
yep.
So the training is about trying to get, you know, like allow people to have enough information to understand what you know, how these children might act. And then after that, and that takes about 8 hours. That's 8 hours. And if you're in a couple, you both have to come.
Yep.
Sometimes with them, maybe single carers, you know, whatever. But certainly if there's a couple, the two, you know, two people who want to do it together. And then we have a process of assessment where someone will come into your home and spend quite a bit of time. It's usually about, can be anywhere between 10 and 20 hours of spending time with you, asking you very specific questions about yourself, you know. So what we find is that we need, like, because a lot of foster carers, we're not, you know, like a number of foster carers that I've met over the years have gone through trauma as children.
Yeah,
absolutely. And they want to now give back. They, you know, they feel that they're, but we need to assess whether they're ready to do that. Because sometimes, you know, if you've experienced trauma or, you know, difficult situations or family violence or whatever it is, you might not be quite ready, you know, to become a foster carer. So that's all the things that we talk about during that assessment, what people's parenting strengths are, where they might need support. You know, we talk to people about, well, what's your bottom line here? You know, and some people say, well, you know, if my pets were in danger, that would be a no-no for me. Or, you know, so there's, you know, different things for different families or people that they need to identify early on that are not going to be okay with them. So then we go through that process, and then it needs to be ticked off by a couple of different people, including the department and us. And then, you know, basically we'd start with respite care. It might be that Tom or, you know, someone else in our foster care pool needs some respite for a weekend, you know, while they go and do something. And so a new foster carer might, you know, have a go at having that child overnight, that sort of thing. So it just sort of builds over time, you know, and as Tom said, for him, you know, 9 years, and there's been a huge variety, and that's why I sort of said before is I think we really need people to be flexible and to be really, you know, really focused on what a child needs, and whether they, you know, whether they can address those needs or help with those needs. So that's sort of the process. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say that it's, you know, it takes 5 minutes or whatever. It doesn't. And for good reason, you know, if you think of your own children, and I used to use my children as a benchmark years ago when I was assessing people, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, I used to think, well, is this somebody that I would leave my children with? Would I feel okay that these people would grow up my children? And I think you've got to use that benchmark, you know, because these kids are pretty important.
I've got to take a quick break and then we'll be back with more. We're going to do a wrap-up, so have your paper and pencil ready and we'll give you some contact details. Every time we die, see it in your eyes. I know that this is wrong. I know it. Even though I try, I never say it right. Been hidden for so long, for so long. Oh, tonight I'm leaving so I can stop this bleeding. Need a little time for healing. Darling, I know that this is all I know. I will love you better when I'm loving myself. that I played at for you. That's Kylie's sister and Danny Minogue. Now, Tom, how has it changed your family having a foster child in your family or a number of them? And secondly, we've got time for a quick call out as to why you think people should become a foster carer.
I think it's just having kids in the house. It's just gives you an appreciation of and pride in being able to look after them and give them what they need. If little kids coming in the house and they're scared and they're hungry, and in a short time they're starting to thrive. They're returning the love that you're giving them, and it's just quite very rewarding to see a big turnaround in their attitude and in their health, in their well-being.
That's terrific. Heidi, we've got about 2.5 minutes. Can you give us some contact details and also why you would like to hear from people who have been thinking about being a foster carer?
Well, I think we might take on the theme for Foster Care Week, you know, is it your time to care? I think that's really important for people to consider, is it your time to care? Because it is really important, and we have increasing need for carers. There are fewer people that are able to be foster carers, so we absolutely need anyone that can assist us. And I would absolutely urge people who've got any interest in it to just give us a ring, have an obligation-free chat.
It's sounding like a salesman.
So it sounds a bit funny, but look, you know, there is no obligation, and people do ring us and just have a chat and go, oh, look, I don't think it's for me right now. And then we might hear from them a year later when perhaps it is better for them. So obligation-free, have a chat, you know, find out more. And really, you know, if you've been thinking about it for a while, why not? Why can't this be your time?
Contact details, please.
Okay. If people can go to our website, which is anchor.org.au, they will see it's very clear. There's a tab, I think, or a little button that you click on if you want to become a foster carer, and that sends through your details to someone who will give you a call. As I say, obligation-free. We need, you know, people who are singles, partnered, same-sex couples, older, younger, et cetera, et cetera. And we're just, actually, Tom and I were just saying before how rewarding it is for mature people to do this.
Phone number, please, Heidi.
It's on the website. Sorry, I don't operate in phone numbers anymore. I won't give you mine.
No, that's fair. So it's anchor.org.au.
Yes, that's the way people usually do it. And there is a phone number on that.
Yep. Tom, look, I've got a lot of admiration for you for what you've taken on, 9 years of looking after other people's children. You must feel very rewarded at the end of it. You've taken some children, and I was at pains to bring up when we first started that should there be no doubt, these young children, it's not their fault that they're in foster or having to be put in foster care. Sometimes it's not even the parents' fault. It's just beyond the situation, but they do need foster carers. Heidi, it's been fantastic to talk to you again. I think we talked to you again between now and Christmas. Tom, yes, thank you for being with us today. And
thanks, Tom.
I wish you well in the future, and maybe we'll talk when you've had 20 children. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.